Before I read our text this morning and share with you from God's Word, just a few announcements. First of all, we are starting up Adult Sunday School again, finally, after a long period of, well, you know what's been going on for the last X number of months. And by the way, one of the themes of the presbytery meeting was sharing together about the challenges that we've dealt with throughout the COVID pandemic and all the lockdowns. And one of the things that was really refreshing about the presbytery meeting, and you know, we should have known this, or I should have known this, but guess what? We're not alone. And every other church is going through exactly the same challenges. But anyway, so where was I? Announcements. We're starting up Adult Sunday School. It's going right now. It's only going to go, this first class is going to be 3 weeks. You can join it, but you can jump in next week. I'll shut my eyes if anybody wants to leave now. But anyway, Bruce Levi is teaching that. Our men's Bible study is every Thursday morning, 8 a.m. at the Eustick Ministry Center. I lead that. Come and join us. We'd love to have you, men. Covenant Christ Press Women. CPW this month is featuring Susan Denniston and Katie Payne. It's going to meet October 16th. That's Saturday, October 16th, at the Ministry Center with a taco lunch and tacos. But we need to have you sign up so that they know how to be prepared. So please get signed up, women, for that. Operation Christmas Child is coming. You know, the shoeboxes that we to go out over the world to bless children. This is such a fun way to bless a child in a poor country. And it's a great activity to do with a child or grandchild to go out and do the shopping for the shoebox. The boxes are going to be available soon, sometime in the middle of October. So be thinking about that. Now, if you will turn with me, I am starting today a series on King David. And I've been convicted of late that I don't preach enough from the Old Testament. So we're going to do a series on King David. And it's not necessarily going to be chronological. But today, we're looking at when David established Jerusalem as his capital. But we're particularly going to be looking at what were called David's mighty men. David's mighty men were the men who came on alongside him, warriors. That came alongside him to help establish peace in Israel and unity among the tribes of Israel, and to serve their king. And there are many amazing examples of devotion to the king, and it points us. We don't think of ourselves as mighty men or mighty women, but it points us to serving our King Jesus. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about today. So 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 4 through 11. And this takes place just after the death of Saul, who was the first king of Israel, and David has just been anointed as the new king of Israel. So beginning with verse 4, hear the word of God. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, that is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. The inhabitants of Jebus said to David, "You will not come in here." Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. David said, "Whoever strikes the Jebusites first shall be chief and commander." And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first, so he became chief. And David lived in the stronghold, therefore it was called the City of David. And he built the city all around. He built the city all around from the Millo in complete circuit, and Joab repaired the rest of the city. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. Now these are the chiefs of David's mighty men, who gave him strong support in his kingdom, together with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. This is an account of David's mighty men. Jashobeam, a Hachmonite, was chief of the three. He wielded his spear against 300, whom he killed at one time. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my heroes, and I'll bet there's a number here that share this with me. One of my heroes since I was a kid has been Winston Churchill. I've read numerous biographies of Churchill. I was a speech major when I was in college, and I studied his speeches. Probably the greatest orator of the 20th century. In 1940, Britain was in what Churchill called their darkest hour. Hitler's army had routed the British and French forces on the continent of Europe, and they were poised to cross the Channel and invade England. On June 4th, 1940, Churchill gave a speech in the House of Commons that was broadcast on the radio for all of Britain to hear. And it concluded with these words: "Even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and all the odious apparatus of Nazi rule, we shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." Wow. That speech was given 81 years ago, and doesn't it just inspire you? Doesn't it stir us to be braver in our ordinary lives? To imagine more of ourselves? To see that even ordinary people like us can do extraordinary things? Well, the 11th and 12th chapters, it's chapter 11 and 12, tells the story of David's mighty men. And it's too long. It was too long for me to read the whole things, but I'm going to tell you about some of the heroics, some of the exploits of those mighty men. And these two chapters of 1 Chronicles were written to do for Israel what Churchill's speech did for Britain. It was actually written 500 years later. Looking back on the period of David's conquest and reign. And it was written to inspire people, the people of God, the Hebrew people, who were living in what they thought were boring times. Now, I don't think anybody thinks that about our times today. They say that there's an old Tibetan curse. May you live in, and you only give this curse to your worst enemies. May you live in interesting times. And we do, don't we? The people who first read the accounts of the chronicler, looking back on the history of King David and others, they were ordinary people like us, but they were the people of God. And these chapters were written to rally the people of God then and now. 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and 12 are up to something clever. They look back as a way of prophesying the future. What God did in the days of David, he will do again. In fact, he's already begun to do it. And the key verse is chapter 11, verse 10. Now these, I'm going to read it again. Now these are the chiefs of David's mighty men who gave him strong support in his kingdom together with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Once again, we probably, most of us don't, I look in the mirror and I don't see a mighty man. And ladies, maybe you don't look in the mirror and see a mighty woman. But these heroes from 3,000 years ago are an inspiration and model for us today. Just like David's mighty men, we serve a king who is worth fighting for, who's worthy of our best efforts, who's worthy of all that we have to give. Just to tell a few of the stories, the one mighty man account that I read, it was at the tail end of that text, was about Jashobeam, who took on 300 enemy warriors with a spear and slayed all of them. There was another named Abishai who did the same thing. There was a fighter named Benaiah who took on a 7.5-foot Egyptian warrior who carried a spear as big as a weaver's beam, ripped the spear out of his hands, and killed him with it. Now, we also are called to confront the enemies who would take what belongs to our King, Jesus. The mighty men of David were totally devoted to him. And we also are to take on enemies that oppose King Jesus. But our weapons are not spears or swords or arrows. And our enemies are not human. And I'll remind you that Jesus called us, commanded us, by the way, that our human enemies, and he said, you will have enemies. You follow me, you will be opposed. And you have heard it said, Jesus said, you have heard it said, love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Our enemies are not people. Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. The text from 2 Corinthians that Paula read a minute ago. I'm going to read it again. Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, and he's talking about our ordinary lives. We are fleshly people. Though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments. Right? It's not our calling as Christians to destroy people. David's Mighty Men, there's a lot of blood in those stories. That's not our calling. The weapons of our warfare, Paul says, are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Wow. Ephesians 6 says we are to put on the whole armor of God, and we're to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, what is Paul talking about when he says we destroy strongholds? We take every thought, we destroy false arguments. We take every thought captive to Christ. What is Paul talking about? Well, Paul is saying that there are spiritual forces at work in this world that are lying into the ears of people. You know, we all like to think we're independent thinkers, don't we? I'm an independent thinker. I think for myself. You know, we're not. We're sheep. Human beings are sheep. And we will either follow the Good Shepherd who saved and redeemed us, or we will follow the lying false shepherds, the wolves of this world. And so when Paul says we destroy strongholds, he's talking about false ways of thinking that have demonic origin, but have overtaken people and hold them captive. It's exactly, by the way, what Bruce is talking about in his class on Christian worldview. Think about this for a minute. If you believe that this world was created by the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel, and if you believe that God revealed his will to Israel in his commandments, and let's say centrally in the Ten Commandments, and you believe that God is most fully revealed in Jesus Christ, and that this word, as Jesus said, is truth. Okay, you believe those things. That gives you a particular framework to think about the world. That's a world view. But if you've never been exposed to this, or if you've rejected God's word, and let's say you believe instead that life is an accident, it just happened, and it just happened to evolve into what it is today, and you believe that either there is no God, or if there is a God, he's silent and has not spoken. Okay, now you believe those things, then you will make certain assumptions about the world and about life. And you're going to think you're an independent thinker. I can do what I want as long as I don't harm others. You're not an independent thinker. If you hold that worldview, as I said, we are sheep. And if you hold that worldview, you're going to accept lies instead of the truth. You know, one of the things we talked about on the pastor's retreat a few days ago was that those of us that have been around in the ministry a long time. Okay, I've been doing this ministry thing for a long time now, about 40 years. And when I first started out in the ministry, the church was a respected institution in America, and pastors were kind of prominent in the community. That has completely changed. And there's a whole generation that has been growing up. In the past, people either respected the church, and even if they didn't go to the church, they thought, well, the church is doing good. And even if they weren't a believer, they thought, well, those people are doing good things, so let them be. Now, today, a whole generation has risen up that thinks that you and I are evil, that the church is an evil institution. We're anti-gay, we're anti-trans, we're filled with hate. Now, why do they believe that? Because they have a worldview that says we're on our own to figure out what's right. Now, and by the way, this actually wasn't the sermon I was going to preach today. that's okay. Paul said, we destroy strongholds, false ways of thinking. We take every thought captive to Christ. Friends, we're in a fight. And right now, I hate to say it, we're losing. And maybe it's because we haven't recognized that we were in a fight. And we're losing our own young people to these falsehoods, to these strongholds. There's one, I'm going to go back to the mighty men now. There's one especially poignant story of valor in chapter 11, and this is what I'm going to close with. It's an especially poignant story of devotion to the king. Because if we're not devoted to our King Jesus in this fight, we're definitely going to lose. The divine power to destroy strongholds comes from Him. Anyway, this story in chapter 11, David wanted to liberate his hometown of Bethlehem. Did you know that David was from Bethlehem, just like King Jesus? And David wanted to liberate his hometown of Bethlehem that was held by the Philistines. There was a big Philistine garrison in Bethlehem. David and his men, his mighty men, were hiding out in a cave. And between, there was a Philistine garrison in Bethlehem, and there was another Philistine garrison between the cave where they were hiding and Bethlehem. It seemed hopeless. David was discouraged. And he said out loud, he said, because he was just yearning to be in his home, his hometown. And he said out loud, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Three mighty men heard him say that. They got together. They got their swords. And they got a bucket. And they charged through, fought their way through the Philistine garrison. Fought their way to the well. Do you remember what the water in your hometown tasted like? Don't you? I do. They fought their way through the Philistine garrison, fought their way to the gate of Bethlehem, drew water from the well, fought their way back carrying this bucket of water, and presented it to their king, to David. And David was so moved by their devotion and their valor, he couldn't drink it. He poured it out as an offering to the Lord. Now, how could you and I do something like that for King Jesus? Remember that Jesus in Matthew 25 taught a parable about the final judgment. He said, when the king comes, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And he's going to say, and among other things, "I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. You gave me something to drink." And the sheep are going to say, and the goats say the same thing, "Lord, when did we see you thirsty?" And he said, "When you gave a drink to one of the least of these, my children, you gave it to me." How do we offer a drink to King Jesus? By serving the least and the lost. Both things. We destroy strongholds, and we serve the least and the lost and the broken. And a gift, any gift of love offered to them is a gift for our King Jesus. Let's be mighty men and women. Our King is worth fighting for, and He's worth serving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of these mighty men who served King David and were so totally devoted to him. They're an inspiration to us. We serve a King in Jesus Christ who is worth fighting for, worthy of our best efforts. Help us to see in the least and the lost and in the hurting and the broken to see our King and serve Him. And we pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen.